Clean contact.
I'd hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Well, here it comes.
Hello and welcome to the Golf Practice Podcast. My name is Andy Hayes, and with me is Jansen Mizrek. Jansen, it's been way too long.
It's been a little while since we've recorded an episode, and it's good to be back, Andy.
It's been actually since April, since Masters Week. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but I think it's about 2 months.
I just know that there's been two other major championships since we've recorded one.
Wow. And Jansen, where are we right now?
We're Andy, we're outside. We're on the patio at the fire pit at Canal Shores Golf Course in Evanston. And it's a beautiful evening. I feel like today's kind of the first day that has finally felt like summer, even though it's June. And it was nice and warm today. And we're taking advantage of the nice weather outside and recording it not in the cube.
Yeah, it's 75 degrees. The sun is setting. There's people out on the patio enjoying drinks. There's this one guy just grinding on the practice green. He's been here like 3 hours. He's probably going to be really good. Yeah, I mean, what a better place to be.
I feel like we could probably just sit here for a solid 2 hours and just talk about what we're observing right now.
I mean, I can't think of a better outdoor place at any golf course. No. Haven't been to Augusta, but I can't imagine it rivals this setting. Anyway, Jansen, we're here to just, I think it's just a summer check-in.
Yeah, you know, I think so.
The golf season is officially underway. You know, our previous episodes were kind of like the intro to the golf season, and now we're in the swing of it a little.
Yeah, I actually told my kids today when I was talking to them, we were taking some notes on the patio, and I said, hey, we've been talking a lot about preparation, and I said, well, we're kind of in it now, kind of in the meat of the season. And everybody's got some tournaments under their belts. Everybody's got quite a few rounds of golf under their belt. And, you know, how should we talk about it? How can we still reflect on these rounds and still get as much or be as productive as possible for the rest of the season?
Yeah, and you say your kids. Do you mean your children?
The kids that I work with.
Okay. All right. Where for, you know, maybe people don't know. Like, what's your job in the summer? Our jobs change here at the golf practice.
Yeah. It's interesting because our staff kind of gets split up a little bit. Like, this is the first time you and I have sat down in a while to actually do something like work related in a weird way,
yep.
Except teaching together on the tee lines. But I am in charge of a program up in our north facility at Deerfield Golf Club, and I run a program called Summer Intensives, and it's for our elite skills, our elite juniors golfers that are basically they're all in middle school. Got a couple younger kids, but we got a couple older as well. But all kids that have been with us most likely in the past. And I spend 5 hours a day with them. I run that program Monday through Friday. And it's a combination of skill development, skill stations, a lot of golf course time, and competition.
Awesome.
So it's fun. Keeps us busy.
I do something similar, but here at Canal Shores, commonly I referred to it. I was talking to Luke, our intern. He was with us last week, and I said,
yeah,
like, sorry, you have to get sent down to AAA next week when he's going back to Deerfield with you, because
there seems to be a little bit of a rivalry between Deerfield and Canal,
well,
or
yeah.
Canal and whatever other
and, yeah,
place
and
we are.
Else, Canal's got its character of its own. We get to play on the course a lot and play games, and kids love it. Last Thursday, we played a four-team 20-person alternate shot, five-hole challenge.
I saw that on the gram. That was fantastic.
It was the best. I'd never seen kids so into golf before.
Yeah.
You kind of go into the summer, into these programs, thinking, like, all right, we're just going to really, like, get so good at chipping and putting, the fundamentals.
Right.
We're going to do all these things. And then it's like, even the best kids, they just want to go and play an awesome 20-person alternate shot
yeah.
game, and that's what gets them going.
Yeah.
So
I think we have a little bit of that too. I've actually been, Deerfield's extremely busy. It's one of the busiest public golf courses on the North Shore. And we're privileged enough to have quite a bit of course access, which is great. And the more that I've seen y'all down here at Canal and how much time you spend on the golf course here and how beneficial it is, I just try and take advantage of every hole we can get in up at Deerfield, because it's a great way to learn the game and just figure it out rather than trying to figure it out on the driving range. Figure it out on the canvas out there on the course.
Mm-hmm. And it lends itself to so many great moments.
Yeah.
Today I was with Pasha, one of our
Pasha's
all-stars.
Oh, good deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is second week with us. And he just hit a drive. He had a pretty good drive. He'd been playing not so good lately, pretty down on himself. But yeah, on the second hole we played today, he hit a good drive. And he said, Andy, you know what I love the most about golf? And I said, what? And he said, I love, after you hit a good shot, it makes you feel so good inside.
Oh, man. What?
It's like, yeah,
fantastic.
You're right. So sometimes, you know, you get the one-liners there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we have some one-liners at our camp.
Okay. It's enough talking about work. Let's talk about our golf games.
Our golf
game. Some things we've played, some fun courses, both together, both separate.
First, I think we need to talk about the new one that we discovered up in Wisconsin.
I think we'll get to that later. Let's just
leave it as a little
it's a cliffhanger.
A teaser.
Yeah. All right. Stay tuned. Jansen, I know the answer to this, but what was your best round of the past month and a half?
What if I threw a curveball at you?
Oh, my God.
Just kidding. It's pretty easy, and I think a lot of people have known it. It was an awesome day. We went out to Mount Prospect Golf Course, and went and played. It was me, Andy, and Rob. Coach Rob went out with us, and it was Andy's 29th birthday, and we were out celebrating around at golf with the boys, and I shot my best round ever, and it was really cool. And we all played really well, I thought.
Not me, but...
You played good on the back.
I played good on the back until that one hole where...
Oh,
you know, I didn't really make the smartest decision.
But it was a cool decision.
It was worth it. I would have done it again.
So,
wait,
that
so
was
you just you need a little more detail than yeah, I played my best round.
So I shot 66 and I shot 29 on the back nine to do it.
Four birdies
and an eagle.
One eagle.
Yeah.
You literally made every single putt. And one of the putts that you didn't make, like, hit the flag stick and bounced out.
Yeah.
Have you ever putted that well before? And how did you do that?
It was cool. It was just an amazing day, because I've never been on the back nine, especially when really even before we made the turn, I've never been, like, that present in a round. I've never been so in control. And, you know, We didn't warm up that day, and so we just kind of went out, and I just felt like I got into the rhythm of the round a lot sooner than what it normally kind of takes me if I just go out cold turkey. Just on the back nine, it was just really cool, man. It was just really cool. I just hit the ball a little bit more solid. The driver was just a little bit more under control, even though it was pretty decent on the front nine. And then the putter just got really, really hot. Like, really hot.
Yeah, it was an amazing thing to witness. I've never seen anyone do that well, and I've, you know, followed Tiger Woods around Bay Hill a couple times, so yeah. It was pretty enjoyable.
Well, it was cool, and it was great to do it with, you know, with you and Rob, you know, two guys that I play with all the time, and get to share that with you guys, and then kind of be able to share that experience with my students and say, hey, like, if I can do it, you can do it. You know, I never in a million years would I thought I've shot 29 by the time I was 24.
Yeah. But so that, like, the last four holes, I'm just thinking of them again.
Yeah, the last four. 14. Were crazy.
Hole 14, you were probably at about even at this point, and you hit a 20-foot putt that everyone thought was going dead center, and it hit the flag and bounced out.
Yeah.
That was 14, right? And then
yeah,
15 was a par five.
I was a couple
and you
under
made
at that point.
Like a
yeah.
50. You couldn't have been, because you made a 50-foot eagle on 15, and then you parred 16, and then 17,
yeah,
par
so
5, and you birdied 17. And
18. Yeah.
And I was, like, adding this up in my head, and I was like, he if he birdies the last two, I know they are easy holes. Shoots 29.
Yeah.
Didn't want to say anything. You know, just hit my putts and got out of the way.
You guys not saying anything, too.
18, you hit driver on a hole. It's not a driver hole. It goes into the bunker.
I was feeling it.
Yeah, but it was it was the wrong decision.
It was 270 to get to that bunker into the wind.
Yeah, and you hit.
And I hit it.
Yeah. Come on. You go to the gym every day.
I know, like, but.
You can hit that. And you were, like, up against the lip. I don't know how you, what'd you hit out of that?
I hit pitching wedge from 97. It was a little into the breeze. I hit a little knockdown wedge in there. And I was like, that was the most clutch shot of the back nine, that one. I was like, I was pretty nervous over that one. But I caught it clean, and then I got to its apex, and I was like, that's all over it. And it landed like right next to the flag stick, but it spun.
Spun back.
Spun like crazy.
15 or 20 feet.
Yeah.
He made the putt.
Drano.
Wow.
Yeah. What? Yeah, so that birdie on, it was cool because I had some consistency on the back nine because number 10? Number 10's that par 3. I hit 9-iron into there and hit it pretty close, make a nice putt for birdie. 11, I had 9-iron into 11, and I got to hit it a little more full than I did on 10. And that was probably the worst putt I hit on the back nine. It was tapping par there. And then par on the next par 3, which is the 12. 13, I have 9-iron in again, even though it was into the breeze, and I hit like a little chip one, but it was like this cool little shot I'd been practicing on the range. And so I was like, oh, I'll try this, and it worked out and make that putt. And then I had 9-iron in again, one other shot. I can't remember right now. I'm blanking on it. But it was cool to have that consistency and have a couple like familiar yardages. And I think that's just why that back nine flowed so well. It was cool.
What was your next round after that?
My next round was yesterday at Bobolink.
Oh, so it was a couple weeks.
Yeah, it was a couple weeks. I'd played a couple holes like with the kids at work and you know, practiced a bunch, but like the weather was so bad and I didn't have time. So yeah, I played at Bobolink, got invited out, which was a phenomenal golf course, really difficult golf course.
Did you have any expectations?
I didn't. I was kind of nervous, but I'm glad I kind of took a little bit of time off because I didn't have any expectations. Again, it was a course I hadn't seen before. The greens were insanely fast and like super good. But no, I played well. I shot 77 with 5 birdies on a course I'd never seen before. So that was nice. Yeah.
Cool. Just like Tiger taking the break, you know, between like the Tiger. Masters and PGA.
Just like Tiger, no big deal. Plans. But yeah, it was cool. It was cool. All right. Well, enough about me. That's cool and all, but let's hear about your best round.
My best round, it went to Links of Lasonia.
I knew that was going to be it.
It has to be. I mean, it's the best place in the Midwest that I've ever been to. This course designed by these guys named Langford and Moreau,
mm-hmm.
I've been hearing about from Peter Donahue, who's, you know, a friend of the podcast. One of his favorite courses. He's been saying it's, you know, one to check out. It's like good three-hour drive. So we drove up and we were going to stay overnight. We played it, you know, when we got there. And the place is just on this massive piece of land, like up and down hills. And every hole is like very dramatic. Like the greens are built up like 30 feet, almost like drop-offs from the green to like green side, like here hole one at Canal, there's like a 5-foot drop off. Imagine that, you know, 30 feet up. And it just was so exciting to like be there and to see the like this place that I didn't know could exist. I didn't know golf could look like that. And so they, you know, there'll be dog legs, like par four, and at like the split of the dog leg, instead of being trees or water or something, it's just this like massive mound that you're just hitting kind of over and around. And it was like, this is my best round, but I tend to do really well when I just like, I'm excited about the course.
Yeah.
I can't do good at a course that I like played a bunch because I'm just too bored by it. And it's like, not exciting. And I know that's not, you know, not something to be proud of, but instead of like, these shots were difficult, like to hit a shot, you know, to a pin that's like off the side of a cliff. It's a hard shot to do, but for some reason, like the first time being there and seeing it, I was just like excited to hit. It's like, oh, cool, look at this cool thing
yeah,
I can hit
awesome.
Up to. And
yeah.
I would just like hit these shots that were really difficult. But in the moment, it didn't seem that at all. It was just a fun thing to do.
Yeah, you almost don't even see how treacherous it could be.
Yeah.
Because yeah. you're so like, oh, this is awesome. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It was the best.
That's really cool.
And it's not, you know, kind of long course. You know, it's lengthy, so it's a little bit open. I like a course with a little bit of open.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't
have the straightest driver. When I feel a little more free, I can hit it pretty good out there.
Yeah.
But I was even par going into 18, which you know, pretty good for me. I don't touch 29.
Catch up. That's
par
a great
five.
Round. Especially, I always think it's impressive. Not to interrupt, real quick, but like I always think it's really impressive on a golf course that you've never seen before to go out and fire something, you know, in the 70s.
Yeah. And par five, bomb drive down the middle. I have 5 iron that I hit just short of the green, but I can putt it maybe 2 feet off it, and it's up the hill straight, maybe 30 feet. And I've just been thinking about how I left a few putts short, trying to make sure I get it to the hole. And I hit the putt, and as soon as I hit it, I am just telling it to stop. Like, I hammered this thing, like, as hard.
You finally know you gave it enough to get it.
Yeah, it's like, but it was too much. This thing's 10 feet past the hole. I'm like, then I'm going to have, you know, 10 feet down the hill for birdie. And it's going a little bit right. Like, I tried to hit it straight, but I pushed it out to the right. And then at the last second, it just, like, breaks down and banks off the flagstick right in the hole for an eagle. Two under. I just started laughing. My dad's just in the cart watching. He's like, was that eagle? Like, why aren't you happier? I was like, the luckiest putt I've ever made. But it was quite the day.
Good thing you left the flagstick in.
I guess so. Yeah. That's a lesson for all of you out there to leave it in. I was reading more about the course, about Lasonia. These guys, Langford and Moreau, they made it in the 20s. William Langford and Theodore Moreau, I think the guy's name is. But they're from Chicago, and they were the best in the world at the steam shovel.
Oh, yes, you've told me about this, or you mentioned it.
And I just read about it, but then I looked up a video today of what a steam shovel actually was. Do you know what a steam shovel is?
No.
It's like there's a wooden shed on wheels with a chimney sticking out of it.
Okay.
Tons of smoke, like steam, like a train or something.
Okay.
And then outside of that is this like big crane that's kind of like an X, and somehow that is really good at moving dirt. But these guys,
I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah, these guys were just the best at it in the world, and so they just made these golf courses where they moved as much dirt as possible. Like we figured this out, so we're just gonna go all the way. And
so that's why there's big giant 30-foot mounds, because they just like, I want to move some
dirt
today.
We can do it, yeah.
That's great.
It's the best. I mean, that's maybe the most American thing. You know, I wish that was every American course of just like, we can build it. Like, let's do it really big. And sounds like
if we build it, they will come, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that was fun. I recommend everyone go check it out.
Yeah, I want to go out up there since seeing some of those pictures. Oh, man.
Yeah. It's great. Good vibes.
Good vibes.
Canal Shores, too.
Yeah. Good vibes, Canal Shores.
More interesting question. Worst round of the year?
Well, I mean, I could just base it off score, right, and just say my worst round. But you could also kind of say, like, well, what round did I just, like, not enjoy? I don't know. I think the first round of our staff tournament, I've never been more fired up after a round to go practice than that.
That wasn't your worst score?
It was my worst score, too. Okay. But it was like, it wasn't necessarily the score. I just like, because I felt like I shot better than what I did. Like I was proud of myself how I stayed. Like I didn't give up. Like I stayed, I was just like kept fighting. I just, again, it was a golf course. It was really hard. It was windy. And I just didn't have my best stuff, but there were some shots and a couple situations I found myself in where I was like I wasn't prepared for that, and I was really fired up to go practice after that and take care of business.
And
so
you did practice, and
I did.
It
paid off.
Well, so. What a lesson for all of us.
Yeah. So yeah, that was like I want to go back and play that golf course again and try and.
That was my worst round too. That day was
close some demons a little. It was a hard course, man.
Well, it was hard and it was windy. And our new clubs that just came in, thanks to Callaway Golf.
Hashtag Callaway.
Billy, our rep, takes care of us.
Billy.
And before this, the Callaway clubs came in, I had been playing one length irons. Mm. And then the new ones came. And of course, like, it's new clubs. Gotta play them. Even
yeah,
I wasn't
that's
used
right.
to
that's
it.
Like, I forgot how close to...
I felt so lost out there.
Yeah. I forgot, like, that was, like, probably one of our first rounds with the new sticks, right?
It was the first, yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It's fun.
It was good. Yeah.
Anytime the golf practice staff gets out to play together, it's a win.
That is very true. It doesn't matter score or whatever. Just being together out there and being able to... the talk and just mess with one another is a blast. It's great.
Yeah. It's like second round I've ever played in the same day as Chris. So it's really,
right?
I mean, really special. So
I know.
I'm sure he's listening to this.
On the
drive. We're playing again. We played since then. So yeah, it's good. What's next? Well, my next question. As a golf coach, what are you working on or thinking about in your swing or in relation to the golf swing in general?
I feel like from a coaching aspect with a lot of my students and talking with Chris a lot and kind of, a theme you could say that we're on, not that we're like teaching this to everyone, but being more aware of, how do I describe it? Being more aware of what the club head's doing and how the club head's moving in the full swing. I think I've as a coach, I've always like really paid attention to what the club head does in short game. And I think that's why, one, I have a good short game and I can get a lot of people to hit like higher shots than they're not used to hitting because we can get the club head moving the way it needs to. But I'm starting to, Chris and I have really started to see how we can get the club head moving better through impact. By getting our students to release in different ways and being able to teach, a throw and a release in certain ways and how, you know, what student needs this type of like release pattern, I guess you could say. And so that's been really cool to work with some people and it's really, really been beneficial for a lot of people. You know, a lot of people, that come to us, you know, just have so much grip pressure, right? They're just choking the crap out of the club head and they're pulling the handle through impact and so the club head's just rising up through impact and it's open or they do this goofy move and try and shut it. So really relaxing their hands and getting them to truly kind of feel this club head as a paintbrush and getting them the release makes the swing more effortless and two gets them a lot more club head speed and so they hit it further with swinging easier. It's really, really awesome. So that's one thing that I've been really focusing on with a lot of people. I've been focusing on it in my own game. I'd say I lean more towards it with my short iron play and with the wedges. But that's about it. And then I guess more personally myself, like I've just been trying to like make sure that my putting stays sharp. Yeah, because the full swing feels great right now.
Well, it's all about the putts.
Yeah.
You know, gotta make them.
Gotta make them. How about you?
I've been trying to figure out how to take, like, the fascination I have at a course like Lasonia to, like, every shot. It's really hard. Yeah, I don't know.
So, like, some mindfulness training?
No, it's not. Well, maybe.
Or like, routine training kind?
Maybe, kind. It's, like, my two best or even most memorable rounds was, like, Lasonia, and then when I played North Berwick in Scotland, which I talked about on this podcast before.
The one with the wall.
And they were both times of like being so amazed at that like golf could be like this that it was just fun and never felt like work or it was just something exciting to do. And so I played my best in those like circumstances, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's unrealistic to do that every single round. You know, I can't fly to a new course every single time I'm going to play golf and try to be like amazed by it.
Right.
So like, I think I get way better, like, you know, we always have, like, close matches. Like, if we go back to Mount Prospect, I give you like five shots on me, but let's go to Lasonia. I'll take, you know, I'll take you even.
Play straight up. Yeah, let's go.
Exactly. Because like something about me compared to other, you know, at least compared to people I play with, when it's a place that I really love and like
yeah.
feel like it's a cool place, I do way better than if I'm at a place that just is kind of boring or I it kind of feels like robot golf to me where like hit it as straight as you can. Maybe because I'm not very good at hitting it that straight sometimes. Hitting as straight as you can, and then it's like you should get your radar gun and you shoot 160 yards and you hit that shot, you know, pull 8 or 9 or whatever it is. And so finding ways to think like, oh, I'm going to hit it in this certain way, or look at this green I'm hitting up to, or this thing I'm hitting over or around, or noticing the wind or something. Something things even like, oh, I can hit this cool, like the wind's going like this, so I can hit a big, like cut that starts outside and kind of use it to come back. That's been something I've been trying to do more.
That's really cool. That's a whole different like perspective on the game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been fun to think about, but not that easy.
Yeah.
Because you can't really fake it. But no. It does have to do with mindfulness and just being more aware of
how you're feeling.
Of just how you're feeling or of just your surroundings, like the
trees.
I think
that's huge. Yeah.
Or the grass or the sounds or anything.
Yeah.
As a way of just, I don't know, just noticing and not going through the motions. Like, I think that's why, I usually play, only these, 9 clubs, and I shoot the same scores as if I had 14 clubs, because more often I'm like, oh, it's a half 7, or I can hit a hard 8, and I'm just, thinking, something, gets triggered in my mind, wakes me up a little better.
Yeah.
We always joke about how when we play, you make a par by just drive down the middle, shot on the green, 2 putts, and I make a par by shot in the trees, punt shot over the green, up and down for par.
Yeah, like a miraculous.
Yeah, but it happens so often that, and I think it has to do with that bad drive or the bad second shot almost wakes me up.
Wakes you up,
and
then you're ready to rock
cool.
and roll.
I'm hitting this, this shot.
I actually have to work the ball here. Yeah.
And last time, I played on Sunday, and I hit a shot on 18 that I hit a 3-wood, and I hit the ground. I think this makes me sound like a terrible golfer. hit the ground 2 inches before the ball. I almost missed the ball, and I was playing pretty good at this point. And it went straight to the right in the trees. Mm-hmm. But I get to the ball, and it's 230 yards away. There's so many trees in my way, and I'm I think I can hit my 5-iron over this tree. It's a big tree. It's a tree, if you turn around, it's a tree that big. This is a tall 5-iron. But somehow I'm I can do it. And I did it. And I hit it green side, 230 yard 5-iron. Tour level, I'm talking about myself. A tour level 5-iron after a 30 handicap level 3-wood. And that's just how I seem to play. And so it's finding, I don't know, I need to find ways.
I like how you describe that, wake up, when you have like a more demanding shot in front of you, you kind of wake up or your senses get,
Yeah.
For me, when I find myself in those situations, it is exhausting.
Yeah.
I played a couple holes today and I was just, I played this one par 5 and I kind of pulled my tee shot. I hit it good and it kind of rides the wind and I got this. It's a par 5, and I'm up the left side, and I got to hit this, little... If I want to be aggressive, I got to hit this, low running draw around these trees. And so I pull my 3-iron, and I'm just like, God, I'm just not... Just not feeling this shot right now, this is tough. Not that I was giving up or anything, but I was like, all right, I'll hit it. And I just kind of chunked it down there, and then had an 8-iron in. I was kind of like, whatever,
Those are the best shots.
I'd rather just be in the middle and just rip it down just rip it straight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so interesting, the different ways of approaching it. I heard on the No Laying Up podcast, Spieth was on. You're wearing Jordan Spieth's shirt, and he was saying how he loves playing Augusta because it's every lie is an uneven lie, mm-hmm. basically, which you don't really get on TV as much, and it somehow he's always having to craft shots, and that's really he likes that a lot, and that kind of seems how I think of it.
Yeah,
of if it's just flat and straight, it's too again, it's not boring because I love being there and love playing it, but I just like don't play as well.
As well.
And
yeah, man,
even if it's
cool.
a much easier place, it's so I don't know. I'm trying to figure that one out. I don't know.
Well, it sounds like I think I got the solution. I'm going to buy you a steam shovel for Christmas.
Oh, come on.
And yeah, I'll park it right here next to the patio at a canal, and you can just go to town out here.
I'm not sure it's something you can just kind of like pick up overnight, I think.
Yeah.
Like those guys seem to be pretty good at the steam shovel.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it'd be a great, you know, I don't know. No, you know, don't buy it. I don't have the time to learn how to use it. There's probably better ways to move dirt these days, but
I don't know.
It'd be pretty cool. Maybe we get Pete buy us one.
I had Turf Tony here, I'm sure could help us
Tony
out.
Tony and Pete. Yeah. All right.
Cool.
It's a great plan.
Well, should we talk about our new clubs?
Oh, new clubs.
I think that's been a big part of the season.
I've changed putters like 4 times.
Have you really?
20 calorie. Well, not serious change. I don't know.
Oh.
We have all these. We signed
you've been using the
partnership
demos?
With Callaway, and we have 20 Callaway demo putters. And so every time I'm there, I just, this looks cool.
Grab a new
Try
one.
It out. But I'm back. I'm back to Old Faithful.
The double wide. Yeah.
Yeah.
Double wide. Nice. And tell us about like what your setup is. And what would your ideal setup be if you could custom craft your own Andy line irons through Callaway? What would they be, and what do you have in the bag right now?
Well, right now I have a Epic Flash Sub Zero driver, which I switch between 8 and 11 degrees depending on my feel each day. I just like how the 11 degrees, it just looks so inviting
so
sometimes.
Big, yeah,
but then when I go on track, man, I just like, these numbers are not ideal. 3-wood, 15 degrees. Then I play a Apex 4-iron. And then I go to Apex Pro. Currently, I have a 5-7-9 50-degree wedge, 58 putter.
And okay, cool.
9 clubs currently.
Do you have the other ones just in your closet somewhere?
Yeah, they're at my house.
Okay.
So I could play them if I wanted. That's my ideal. And I have my Jones bag. So much fun. My ideal setup, I just saw these Mira clubs that have colors instead of numbers on them.
It's just
and there's only 4 of them. So it's like it's meant to be the half set, right?
Because
if you play half set, I still see that I have a 7-iron and a 9-iron. And I know that, like,
there's a gap
missing.
In the middle.
I know
it's not,
like, perfectly, you know, zen or whatever.
Right.
It doesn't fit all together as a whole, but if they were meant to be that way. My wedges have a raw finish, so they start to rust.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like how that looks. So then I emailed Billy, you know.
Billy. Hashtag Billy.
About getting some irons that have a raw finish, and so he's sending me some, so that's pretty cool.
That'd be cool.
I feel kind of like I'm on tour. Like, hey, I like this, can you help me out?
Boom.
And literally like 2 minutes later he sends the email, he's like, ordered.
And he's on the ball, man.
Yeah,
he's on
so
the ball.
Those will be coming pretty soon.
I think that'd be so cool to I love those mic'd up clips with like between athletes and either their coach or like a caddy and the player. And could you imagine if everybody had, or like one player, a couple players on tour had colored irons, and they said, what do you think here, Bones? You know, I think it's a sawed-off orange.
Oh, come
you know?
On.
Or, you're really going to have to step on the purple here.
Oh. <You know? laughs> It would be the best. That, I mean, maybe there's still time. It could happen.
I just think that would be so cool to talk like that for, like, one round with colors.
There's 4 irons, and there are 4 different colors. I can't remember which they were, but seems pretty cool. But they posted it on their Instagram, and then they took it down like 30 minutes later. So
Mira did?
Yeah.
That's
I don't
interesting.
Know. They're waiting. This is breaking news, I guess.
Yeah.
You know,
we
no
got to hunt those things down, man.
You want to talk about your clubs?
Yeah, sure. I play the Epic Flash Sub-Zero driver as well. I love it. I hit it a lot higher than the... I actually had a Epic Sub-Zero before I signed with Callaway. And I love that thing, so I was kind of skeptical, but the flash has, like, blown my expectations. I absolutely love it. Feels a little softer, which is good, launches a little higher ball flight, but it's appealing to my eye. I like it. and I'm hitting it further, so that's cool. Flash 3-wood. I got an Apex hybrid, like a 2-hybrid. That's new. And then I threw a 3-iron in the bag, too. I've only ever carried 2 wedges, so I've always had some extra room for, like, an extra hybrid or like, a driving iron. So I play the just standard Apexes, 3 through pitch, and then I got 50 degree and a 56.
Mm. And so you go 14 clubs.
I go all 14.
Interesting. What made you decide that?
I don't know. You know, in high school, all throughout high school, I carried only 13.
Mm.
If that makes you feel better.
Yeah. No, I'm just turning it around. You know, anytime someone does something different, they have to explain why they do something different. So now,
well, you know,
you do something the same. So I'm going to make you
after seeing your new carry bag, the Jones bag. I mean, whenever I use that, I'm not carrying all 14. I mean, there's not enough room in there. But with the bag that I use majority of the time for work, I carry all 14. So, but I think the coolest part about my set is that everything's blacked out. So
smoke,
yeah,
is that
smoke,
what it's called?
Yeah,
smoke
edition or smoke. Yeah, it's pretty sweet looking.
Cool. All right. Well, should we end by talking about the hidden gem course of?
I think
of
so.
The
I
month?
Think the listeners are ready for it.
They've been on their.
They've been on the
I
edge
mean,
of their seats.
Let's be real. As soon as we started talking about our own clubs, everyone stopped listening.
Yeah.
To
oh
this.
God.
No
here they go
here.
Talking about their own games again.
okay. So let's. Well, all right. Let's hear from your perspective. What is this course, and how did it come to be?
Yeah. So, got the call from Andy, and well, actually, no. We were sitting in the cube. I'll set the scene.
Oh.
Sitting in the cube, and I said, hey, we playing golf this Friday? It was like our last Friday off before summer programming starts. And Andy's like, yeah, we have to. So I said, well, where are we going to tee it up? And I didn't have anything in the morning or after that day. I said, man, I'm up for anything. I'm up for an adventure in golf. So we got on the internet and looked at like top rated golf courses, just kind of like something we hadn't heard of. And this golf course called Spring Valley Country Club popped up. It's just across the border in southern Wisconsin. And it's designed by, remind me the names, but the same architects.
Langford and Moreau.
Yes.
Steam Shovel Bros.
The Steam Shovel Bros. I'll just call them that. Same architects. And so we thought we'd go give it a go, and we did, and it was fantastic. It was awesome. It was like
I need to say more.
Okay,
about,
I'll
like,
say
okay,
I'll say more.
We need more detail.
So very hilly, lots of mounds. There's not a single bunker on the course. All of its defenses are straight elevation, and greens were pretty small. But man, I just the overall layout of the golf course. I mean, everything was thought out. It was very very cool. The condition we got it in the first time, the only time I've played it, it was. They were getting caught up on some mowing because a ton
really
of rain.
Yeah.
So it was very wet, and but the greens were rolling pretty well. And I've heard that you know, Andy and Pete have gone up there since, and it's much better. But given the size of the crew up there and the operation that they're running, the condition of the golf course is immaculate. It's the best bang for your buck.
It costs $18 to walk during the week.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
They don't have online tee times. You just call and it seems like you just pick a time and they write you in. The pro shop doesn't have a computer. They just have a book with names of who's got what. Feels like you're in the 1950s kind of when you're walking around.
Yeah, it does. That I mean, the bar and restaurant, man. It's old school.
The holes are awesome. Similar, it's like mini Lasonia, cheap Lasonia, less good condition Lasonia, whatever you want to
less good condition
say, but
Lasonia.
Easier to drive to, definitely.
Yeah.
Fun to play. Hole 14 is short par 4, and there's a horse buried underneath the tee box called Bourbon.
That's Pete's favorite hole.
Yeah.
He drives the green every time on it.
Such a great hole. It's because the green's raised a little bit. You hit driver over.
Yeah.
Too far. You know, you didn't listen to me, your caddy, that day. I told you that was too much club, and it didn't work out for you. But, yeah, similar things, Lasonia. You're going downhill. Like, since we've been back, it's like dried out and so fun because it seems like each hole has almost like a speed slot where you're like hitting it and you watch the ball like bound down the hills.
We were playing it and it was just kind of, you know, plug lies and just all carry. I was like, man, like this course is not playing the way it should because I saw those spots where the ball should be rolling and it just looked, it looked like it'd be really, really fun.
Yeah. It's been fun since. Oh, on the way, we played it. I went back on Sunday, so 2 days ago.
How many times have you played it? Three.
Yeah, it's. I would go there. Like, we talk. I've been very vocal in certain circles about my hatred for Thunderhawk.
Come on. I love Thunderhawk. Not I hatred. Almost brought it up earlier.
Oh, God. A course that is fancy, in great condition, but doesn't have any soul or character.
Oh, get out of here.
Okay, I should preface this. We played with the golf practice, and it was a great day. So, like, I would happily play, you know.
I won the staff championship out there.
Oh, okay, come on. All right.
It's a great place.
All right.
I've always liked Thunderhawk, though.
There
I don't
are
know
lots
why.
Of
I just
worse
do.
Courses out there, but this place, people, like, hype it up as this awesome, amazing course. Yeah. And I mean, it's fine, and it's in great condition.
If you look at it the last time, if you look at it the last time we played it, Thunderhawk, you know, for all the hype that it gets, I mean, the greens were absolute—they were horrible. That's the worst I've ever seen them.
Yeah,
and you know, obviously the season's been weird, but
it's been rainy. I don't want people to not go to this course because of me, because I have weird taste. But Spring Valley is, of course, not in anywhere close to as good condition, but I'd play it. And I think Pete said it. He said, I'd play Spring Valley five times before I go to Thunderhawk again because it has, like, character and soul and all these things that you can't fake. And I don't really know how else to describe
what
it's like.
That's so true. There's just there's so much character in every single hole out there. I mean, even I think my favorite two-hole, it's my favorite part about that course is not even a hole. It's in between two of the holes. It's between five and six of, like, those steps that go down to where that concrete bench is that we took a picture on.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Just how the back of that green is built up into the next tee box. And then that next par three is probably my favorite shot on the golf course there.
It's like 150-yard par three.
With,
all,
like,
basically
a
all
cliff
carry.
You're hitting over.
Yeah, you go down. Yeah, it goes way down. And it's really cool.
Yeah. But, like, it's just, like, the way that they've molded some of those tee boxes in the backs of those greens, it's just awesome. But, so, yeah, I definitely see where you're coming from.
I'm sorry, Thunderhawk. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I know people love it. And, again, I'm happy to play there with my friends anytime. But I don't know. It's just interesting thinking about what makes a good course.
Yeah.
And I know different people, like, have different experiences. Like, I brought, like, one of my friends who I was with on Sunday, like, didn't like it that much because he's like, it reminds me too much of home.
Oh, really?
Like, this, like, kind of bad course he grew up playing on.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting seeing, like, what people value and what makes a good course and what doesn't.
Yeah. I think if I would have played Spring Valley when I was in college, like, a couple years ago, I would have been like, this is a waste of my time.
Yeah.
But I think after playing places like Canal and seeing what they, like, can truly offer you in your game and seeing past the maintenance side of it and just enjoying what's raw and what's in front of you, that is true enjoyment of if any golf course. And I think that's why I enjoyed our visit up to Spring Valley so much.
Yeah. The best going back, and they let you play as a five-some if you want, which we did.
Yeah, I love the vibe, the culture up there. It's so laid back. Yeah, I paid in cash just to make it easier for him. I just feel like that's the right thing to do when you go there is to pay in cash.
I paid with a credit card. Good burgers, but oh, we played Sunday and 2 minute, like, literally leaving the parking lot, and all of a sudden, like, my car starts shaking. We got a flat tire.
No kidding.
Just out of there. And so we, like, pull over by this house and, like, trying to fix a flat tire. And, like, we had AAA, but Rob, not Rob from the golf practice, a different Rob, was like, I can fix it. He's like, I know how to do it. So we, like, got the jack. They got the car lifted up. We got the wheel off, but then the car like fell off the jack because it was in gravel. Oh. So it wasn't on, and we like were trying to get it up. We couldn't. We were like by this house that was a farm, and so we like knock on the door, like, do you have a jack or a lift or anything? And it was like this grandpa was living there, and he's like, oh, I'm not sure, like, go look in this barn. So we go to the barn, and then we like while we're in the barn, he calls his son, who then gets like so mad that he let people in to the barn without us. And so, and then the grandpa like comes and tells us, like, my son's on his way, he's gonna be mad at you guys for coming in here. We're like, what? We just asked for help. And then we finally just called AAA and they came and fixed it. The son was not happy. He came over in his truck and he's like, I don't want people walking around. And we're like, well, we asked.
We
like,
asked
you're invited.
For help. Yeah,
what
we
else
just
do you want
go
us to do?
Sneezing
like,
around.
Come on. So that was an adventure.
I've had my car fall off a jack before. Yeah. It's you got to loosen the bolts before you jack it up.
No, we did.
You did?
Yeah. We got
it was on the gravel.
We got the wheel off.
Yeah, dude, those jacks that come with the car, those things are dangerous.
Yeah.
Those things are small.
Yeah, they're not good. Yeah.
AAA's.
They had a air compressor jack in it.
Yeah, AAA's the bomb.
Really cool. It's like a balloon that lifted the car off the ground.
Oh,
so
no kidding.
I recommend checking one of those out.
Yeah.
It's the greatest invention since the steam shovel, I think.
Way to tie you back.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, it's about to be... It's dark. No, it's
dark. It's definitely dark.
The mosquitoes are out. The lights are on this patio. This is a great place. I think everyone should come check out Canal Shores Patio. They're open until midnight every night of the week.
You know what would be cool? The next episode that we record, that maybe we can market it a little bit, and that we have a live audience while we record one, and everybody can enjoy themselves here on the patio underneath the lights.
This is how people want to spend their Tuesday night listening to Golf Practice Podcast. I bet we could get Pete to be here for that. So
yeah, I think so. Yeah, he'll keep him engaged.
Yeah, he will keep him engaged. Well, okay, Jansen, I'm glad we got to do this.
Yeah, man, thank you.
I'll see you.
Clean contact.
Right. Take care.
I hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Well, here it comes.